We're going to pick it up in John chapter 20, verse number 11. It says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, you would use your words, Lord, to help your people. Lord, I pray that saved people would be drawn closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would minister to the hearts, Lord, the needs that only you know. I pray, Lord, if some lost soul hears this message, Lord, I pray that you would help that soul to realize they need a Savior, realize they're a sinner, and Lord, that they're able to be saved by trusting the gospel, Lord, the resurrection of a risen Savior, Lord, and what he's able to do through the power of the gospel, dear Lord, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. Lord, I pray your power upon this message. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help someone with these words. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to preach on the subject of wisdom from the resurrection. And the thing is, I will in no wise do this text justice, but I know this, in reading this, one thing that I see is, by way of introduction, is an earth-shattering event had occurred that challenged her faith. Now, if you're walking with the Lord very long, there's going to be something occur that happens in your walk, in your daily paths. Something's going to occur in your life that's going to challenge your faith. If you're saved very long at all, you're going to have challenges come up where your faith is going to be questioned. Everything you thought you knew is going to come to a place where that thing is challenged. And that's just part of being saved and going through this walk with the Lord. The thing is, I liked about this, she went looking in the right place. She's going looking. She's going to the sepulcher where he was. She's going there, but she didn't find what she expected. Oftentimes, I've noticed this in my walk with the Lord. I will go somewhere and expecting one thing, and a totally different thing happens. We've been to prayer meetings, been to revival meetings, been to go see someone at the hospital, someone at the nursing home. You'll be praying, Lord, I need your help now. I'm expecting this one thing. And you get there, something totally different happens. You may be expecting in your life, this is going to be something here. I know exactly how this thing's going to happen. And what you think you're going to find isn't there. She goes to the sepulcher and finds something totally different than what she thought she was going to find. She finds that the Savior, later on she's going to find he's arisen. That's what we want. The thing is, it wouldn't have helped Mary to find what she was looking for. If she had went there and found him buried, or she had found his body, that wouldn't have done her any good. The thing that I'm learning in my faith is this. If I go to the place and I get what I expect to find, it's not going to do me any good. I need what God wants me to find. That's the thing I'm learning. I'm learning oftentimes what I think I need is not really what I need. I need what God knows I need. That's the thing. She goes here, and if she had found a buried Savior wasn't doing any good. Well, the thing that I like about this is the fact that they had to say in one place, he is not here, he's risen. That's the divine message we have given us this morning, that we are serving a risen, living Savior. Man, that's what gets me excited about serving my Lord. Why? He is alive. He is. That's why, you know what? Well, when Jesus were here, I like to keep that present tense of the Lord Jesus. Is. He is. He is. That's how he can say, I am. He always is. He was. He is. He is to come. And that's the Savior. So what we got to realize is this. He had been warning them and telling them what was going to happen. The Lord always tells us. He'd been saying, he had told Peter, he said, hey, I'm going to go die and things. And Peter rebuked him, be it not unto thee, Lord. He had told them several times. They just did not understand this thing. The thing is, he had been telling them, but they didn't believe it. But the thing is, we're warned way ahead of time. We've got things going on in our world right now. And people act like they're so surprised about what's going on when the Bible's been saying these things are going to happen. We've got people just getting worse and worse and waxing worse and worse. When the Apostle Paul said, hey, things are going to wax worse and worse. People are going to be deceiving and being deceived. You say, well, what's going to happen? Well, just what the Bible says is going to happen, It's just that simple. Nothing's taking God by surprise. This thing that's happened hasn't taken God by surprise. But the thing is, just because he tells us, doesn't mean we're always going to listen. They weren't listening, but we know the Bible says it was hid. The Bible says that if the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't even crucify the Lord of glory. Why? It wouldn't have done them any good. Oftentimes, a lot of things we think, I need to know, I just need to know. A lot of times, until things happen, we're not going to believe it anyway. Some things are just over our head. So the thing is, he had warned them, but the thing is, we wonder why things happen, just like she's wondering here. But this thing here is going to be something that draws her closer to him. I know for me, I've wondered even lately, why this and why that, and you can put anything in that thing. Why? Different one of us wonder different things. But the thing is, this thing here happened, and it draws her closer to her Savior. I hope that when things happen in our life, that we allow that thing to get us closer to Him and not further away, because the temptation of our flesh is just to give up. Just throw your hands up and say, man, I'm just finished with this thing. I'm done trying to think about the thing and stuff like that. The thing is, we got to realize, just like this title here I've got on this message, Wisdom from the Resurrection, there's things that we can learn from a risen Savior daily, because we're serving Him daily, we're living with Him daily, and there's things she learned we can learn. The first thing I want to look at this is she lacked knowledge at first. In verse number 11, she just didn't know what was going on. And the fact that she lacked knowledge at first, it caused sadness, number one. It caused sadness. I mean, oftentimes when we don't know things, we're going to be sad about that thing. But what I like is this right here. Verse number 9, here's some things she didn't know. It caused sadness. It says, for as yet they knew not the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. That shows you there. If you compare that with Pauline Gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, that shows you they didn't know anything about the death, burial, and resurrection. It said they knew not He must rise from the dead. When the resurrection is part of Paul's Gospel, that's a different thing. But the thing is this. There's a lot of things we don't know yet. That's a wonderful thing that she learned. Thank God for learning. A lot of people think they know it all. Man, these know it all. That's why they're so sad. They just think they know it all when they really don't know it all. In John 16, verse 12, the Lord said, I have yet, many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, I'm learning about my walk with the Lord. A lot of things He don't tell me because I can't bear it yet. A lot of things about this Bible I've got over here, and I've done just like I was taught in school. I write email by several pastors, more light. I just need more light on the passage. But the thing is there's been, I write it in pencil. When I get a little bit more light on it, I erase it. And sometimes I think I ought not have erased it. Sometimes I think I didn't get as much light as I thought I had on the thing. But the blessing is this. It caused her sadness. But the thing is this, she thought she lost her hope, but we know now, on this side of the resurrection, see, she didn't realize it yet, but on this side now she has a hope because that thing happened. This was an earth-shattering event to her. She lost her Savior. Here's the Lord, and they're expecting physical salvation. They're expecting the kingdom to come, and all her dreams were just dashed in a moment. You think about how many dreams have been dashed, how many people lost their jobs, how many people, their families are separated. I just can't imagine some of the stuff that's went on. But here's something earth-shattering to her, but now on this side of it, she's about to get a hope in the Lord that she did not have before it happened. The thing now, she's got a hope. Jesus said, He is our hope. That's what I love about this. The thing is, she thought she had no help. Now scriptures are starting to come to light to her that wasn't even alive to her so much before it happened. I'm sure Psalm 108:12 come to her mind. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. You know what she's realizing? There are some things men just can't help you with. I'm learning that, I know that there are people in this church I could call on anytime I wanted to, anytime, and say, man, I need your help. And they could come help me and do the best they could. But there are certain things, inward battles, inward struggles, and things that goes on in this heart that only God, Dr. Jesus, the great physician, can help with. And she's realizing, hey, for vain is the help of man. I believe that there are scriptures coming to light on this side of this thing that were never lit up to her, because it says, as yet they knew not the scripture. Well, on this other side, they start learning things about the scriptures they didn't know previously. I know now all these things that's went on lately has driven me to get into the Bible like I wasn't in the Bible before. I am literally studying things, and things are coming to light, because before all these things happened, I wasn't able to see them in such a way. Well, thank God. I just thank God for it. I thank God. See, she lacked knowledge at first, and it caused sadness, but it caused also a change in sight. Look at verse number 11. It caused sadness, but it caused a change in sight. This is what happens whenever you get wisdom from the resurrection of the Lord. There's power in the resurrection of the Lord and in serving that risen Savior. It says in verse number 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, I love this, man, as she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre in verse 12 and seeth two angels in white sitting. You know what she's saying? Now that she's on this side of this thing here, and she lacked knowledge, but now she's getting some knowledge here, it caused a change in sight by putting her in touch with a spiritual realm. Now look, we know today, I'm not going around here looking for angels, and I'm not going by sight, but I know this right here. That Bible said that she wept. She was weeping, and as she wept, as she will. You know what I'm learning? Psalm 6 verse 6 puts tears, it calls tears water. All right, now what I'm learning is this right here. They're able to wash away your tears. Whenever you're getting with the Lord and you get those tears there, it's able to wash away unseen spiritual dirt. The thing is, she before she got those tears there, she didn't see things like she saw them without the tears. You know, one thing that's missing in a lot of people's walk is just the tears. Just the fact that we've just gotten to the place up until recently where our hearts were, as a whole, I'm talking about saved people, just got to the place where we didn't weep anymore. Just to the place where nothing could touch our spiritual feelings anymore. And oftentimes it's the tears that wash away unseen things in the spiritual. It's a spiritual connection there that has to do with our tears that on the inside. It washes away things that we can't even see there. There's a guy, I won't mention his name, but I was pulling my route the other day, and he come out, and I've been trying to tell him about the Lord. Maybe I'd bring up the Lord or something like that for a while now. Well, he come out to me this time, and he said, Brother Chase, he said, man, I'm going on a month without work. And man, he had that old sock in his throat, you know. And he said, man, would you pray for me? Man, I tell you something. I couldn't hardly fight back the tears myself. I said, I'd love to. I said, I'd love to, man. And I said, I tell you what, you can count on me to be praying for you. And I've written him down on my personal prayer list at the house, and I'm praying for him. And you know what he said? He said, brother, I'm not looking for a handout. He said, man, I just want to go back to work. He said, I just want to be able to feed my family, man. He said, I've made some bad choices along the way. And he said, I realize that. And man, he just had tears. He just, you know, he's fighting them back. You know, his old eyes were watering up, and man, then my eyes were watering up. And I was thinking to myself right there, he's seeing that I didn't have to point out a thing. Which I didn't want to. Who am I to point? I'm just saying, when we get to the place where we'll weep a little bit and we'll actually think on things a little bit, it washes away some dirt that needed to be washed away, and we've actually got a clearer vision. Once we get those tears, what I'm saying is sometimes we need some tears. I believe in many Christian. Well, I believe there's people hadn't cried over their sin in years. I believe there's people hadn't cried over the fact that they don't witness and they don't care about the things of God in years. I believe there's a people that haven't had those tears that's been needed to wash away things that's on the inside there in so many years. I believe they've forgotten even how to cry over their sin anymore. Yeah. The problem is we've gotten to the place as a whole where we're so worried about our conveniences instead of having a contrite heart. And I tell you, I believe it helps us to have a contrite heart. I believe a humble and a contrite heart are special in God's eyes, and He still sees those things. Another thing there is she's finding that fulfillment of that very present help in trouble. The thing is the whole time the Lord was there, even though she didn't know it. Oftentimes, man, it's amazing to me how I cannot see the Lord, but He's with me all the time. I can't see the Lord right now, but I know He's with us this morning. I know that the Lord is with us because even though I can't see Him, He's on the inside of me all the time. And He's a very present help. He's always with me. Man, it put her in touch with the spiritual realm. Looking at something else on this change of sight, it kept her concern for the Savior real. Verse number 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid. She is so concerned, she's still wanting to know where the Lord is. She's not going through the motion anymore. She's realized how precious keeping the Lord around is. You know what? A lot of folks need to be asking, hey, I want to know where the Lord is. Hey, you know what? Maybe I hadn't been having room for the Lord in my life. I'm looking for Him now. I wasn't looking for Him previous, but I'm looking for Him on this side. I've got to have a change in sight because I'm realizing my concern for the Savior needs to be real. I believe there's going to be a lot of folks that's realizing there just how important He is. And you know, they say, well, this is horrible. All these things that's going on is horrible. I tell you what's horrible is not realizing how much we need God. It's more horrible for a Christian not to realize that their relationship is real and that Savior is real and the fact that we need Him is real. That's worse than losing our conveniences. The most important thing we're seeing right here is she's really not realizing how precious He is. Now the thing is, she didn't even know He had risen from the dead, but she just wanted to be around the Lord. Yeah. You think about how precious that is. For her, she just said, hey, I just want to be around Him. I just want to see His body one more time. I just want to see, man, that's precious. She got more than she bargained for, didn't she? You know what we realize? You're going to realize if we'll just look for Him, you'll get more than you ever thought you could get. The Lord can give more than we could look. He could drown. All those people got the loaves and fishes. He could have drowned them in loaves and fishes. If the more they wanted, if they would have wanted second, third, fourth, they could have got all they wanted. Why? Because it never ends with the Lord. Man, if you want a drink of water, He'll give you a river. If you want a piece of bread, He can give you loaves of bread and fish. He can satisfy your every appetite. What he has never ends. Never ends. And see, that thing is real with her. So the thing is, she lacked knowledge, but guess what happened? That sadness caused a change in sight. And that's what we need. We need that. Now here's another thing too. She begins getting her strengthened in her faith. She begins getting strengthened faith. Verse number 13. You're going to see that now she's really looking for the Lord. The thing is, are we seeking the Lord or selfishness? I asked myself this right here, and she's not even being selfish right here at all, because I know that, because they had killed the one she's following. She keeps following. It's so much so, there's so much fear going on at this time right here, that the disciples, the Bible said in verse number 19, then the same day at the evening, even the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Here, there's fear going on, so much so that most of the majority of Christians were scared to death. But here's a lady right here who's not scared when everybody else is scared. You know, one thing that sets us apart is having that spirit of power and love on sound mind. The thing is, I do believe that what we're seeing go on, yes, Christians do need to exercise caution. Christians do need to not be rebels. Christians don't need to be hard to deal with in this time and stuff like that. But at the same time, the lost world and Christians who are scared need to see that there are Christians out there who are not fearful. The thing is we put ourselves first on so many fronts. This flesh loves to get, if the flesh can't get glory one way, it wants to get glory another way. If the flesh can't get glory saying, well, Lord, I'll serve you no matter what, the flesh will try to get glory and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to rebel. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. The flesh will try to get glory on one or the other. And I'll tell you something, this lady right here, she's just sincerely seeking her Savior. She's not concerned about herself. She said, look, I just want to get to where the Lord is. Her fear wasn't dictating her like most people's feelings do. So the thing is, we don't ever need to let getting scared stop us from serving the Jesus, stop us from seeking Jesus and serving Jesus. The thing is, you're going to find what you're looking for. Here she is, she's looking for him and she finds him. You know what I believe a lot of people don't find Jesus? They're just not looking for him. They go around and they live their lives and they're doing all these things and they've got all this stuff they think all the bases covered, when the main thing to have covered is, do you know the Lord? That's the main thing. And then once you know the Lord, are you staying in fellowship with Him? I thank the Lord, I thank the Lord, I thank the Lord for my fellowship. That I've each day I've been able to keep praying and keep reading and keep those simple things going. Why? Because, hey, when something bad happens, what do you do, Brother Che? What do you do? Well, you know what we do? We just keep doing what we've been doing. I just keep trying to put the Lord first, keep trying to yield to the Holy Spirit, keep trying to read the Word, keep trying to pray, keep trying to preach, and keep trying to reach others for Jesus Christ. But the plan never changes. You just keep doing what you've been doing. That's the thing about Daniel over there in the Old Testament. You know what? He didn't have to say, okay, well, they've made a decree here. No, he just kept doing what he'd been doing. He just kept on going through. You know, we don't stop serving the Lord. Here's Mary here. She just keeps serving the Lord. What do you do right now when you don't know what to do? You just keep serving the Lord. So what you'll see is, as she's getting her strength and faith, at first your vision may not be clear. Verse number 14, you're going to see right here. Verse number 14, it says, when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Sometimes it's the Lord there, but you don't recognize the Lord working. Sometimes there have been times in my life when I couldn't see the Lord, and I tell you why I couldn't see Him. My emotions were in the way. Verse number 11, she's weeping. Verse number 13, she's weeping here. But the thing is, she didn't allow those emotions to keep her from Jesus. With me in my life, a lot of times it's not my sadness that keeps me away from the Lord. A lot of times it's my anger and stuff like that that keeps me from seeing Jesus in the proper way. And a lot of times, as being a man, a lot of times a man's stubbornness and a lot of times a man's need to rebel and say, I'm the man, you know. Okay, well, the real man's the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. Yes. Pilate said, behold the man. That's the man. Amen. All right, so when we get to thinking, whether it's emotions of sadness or emotions of gladness, emotions of rebellion, whatever those emotions are, if we allow them to get in our way, like with them, you know, fears of the unknown. Here they are, there's fears of the unknown. Listen to all these crazy people teaching stuff today. You know what? A lot of these guys are going to be in a lot of trouble over a lot of this stuff that's going on. How come? You're supposed to preach that Bible and let the Holy Spirit do the scaring. If a man scares you, it's no good. The Holy Spirit is the one that's supposed to do the convicting. A lot of these folks need to realize they're not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God and not me. Our job is to get prayed up and preach what the Word of God says and let the Word of God do the work. And these things here, the people are just scared to death of the unknown. We're living in a day when people are scared to death of the unknown. Well, we don't have to be scared of the unknown. Why? We know that the Lord holds the future. So the vision starts off unclear, and the emotions can get in the way, but then also this, then your view's changed. Verse number 15, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener. Now, this is what I like right here. The thing is, like Mary, we're sometimes like Mary. We'll mistake him for being the gardener. Think of this. We only think of him as being a servant. A gardener's a servant instead of the master. It's not until you see him as master. She called him Rabboni, which is a master. It's only when we get the rest and the grace that we need to serve the Lord, you're going to see him as master, as not servant. The thing is, so many people have fallen in love with what God provides instead of the provider himself. Yeah. Lord, what can you do for me? You're just a gardener. You're just around here to take care of the house, you know, trim my hedges and go over here to do that. Look, God is not our bellhop boy. God is there for us to serve him. The thing is, we've treated God for so many years like a genie in the bottle. She didn't get what she needed by seeing him as the gardener. She got what she needed. She got everything as far as all her grace and all her fears calmed down when she seen him as master. For me, I know this right here. I thank God he's the master. We sing about him being the master of the sea. I thank God that I see that through the Bible, my flesh don't want to see it. But through the facts of the scriptures, I see he's the one that hung the stars. I see he's the one that made everything. I see he's the one that laid the grass down and tacked it down with the trees. I see him. He's the one that causes the seasons to change. I see he's the one that wrote this Bible. He's the one that inspired this Bible. He's the one that gives us power to do anything. When I see him as the master, that's where I get the help from. The thing is he told him over in John 6:26, he said, "You seek me because you did the loaves in them were filled." You know what's wrong with a lot of people's relationship with the Lord is they're seeking him for what he can give. Mm-hmm. We need to seek him because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we still love him? What if he don't give us things that's coming up in the future? We think, what if things don't ever go back to normal? We still going to love him? See, we need to get to the place where we'll serve him. What if he sees fit to say, you know what, we're going to let things get worse instead of better? Let's just see if we're fair weather friends here. I tell you something, man. I'm not saying I've got the grace yet, but if God will give me grace to serve him, I hope I'll serve him in the good times and in the bad times. The Bible says in season and out of season. You know, you got, well, this thing's going to get, won't be long, everything will be back to normal. What if it doesn't go back to normal? Are we still going to love the Lord if it doesn't go back to normal? I hope we are. The thing is, our relationship with the Lord shouldn't change just because something bad happens. Mary is getting her whole view. It's just she's seeing him as master. She's seeing another side of the Lord. She's seeing the risen Savior. That's the wisdom she's getting from this resurrection here. And we get the same thing. Then, thirdly, she realizes the facts. In verse number 16, says, "Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni," which is to say master. And what I like about this right here is she sees here the sweetness of his voice. The sweetness of his voice, man. I want you to know, according to Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It causes you to recognize his goodness, and it gives you godly gain. Quickly, I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, so I don't misquote the verse. But it says, "Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed unto repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing." Now see, the thing is this right here. He says, for godly sorrow, verse number 10, worketh repentance to salvation. All right, he's talking to save people. Look, if you'll get yourself to the place where you have a godly sorrow, it'll save your testimony. It'll save your fellowship with the Lord. It says not to be repented of. You won't never have to change your mind on getting right with the Lord. Once you get right with the Lord, you're never going to go back and regret and repent and say, man, I wish I hadn't got right with the Lord. Every time you get something right with God, the Bible says she turned herself. You know what? The sweetness of his voice will cause you to repent, and you won't even be, you'll never be sad that, hey, I heard the sweetness of his voice, and man, I realize how good he is. Lord, have mercy, how good it is to hear some preaching. Lord, how good it is just to hear another Christian pray. Lord, how good it is just to be able to go out and hear the birds singing. Lord, just to be able to go out and be a part of your creation. Lord, just to know that I know you're coming for me one of these days. And one of these days, if nothing else, if I do die, she said, well, I saw him as the gardener. Well, I realized something here. There's a change. Death used to be an executioner. Now it's just a gardener. You imagine that right there? Now you used to, death was a fearful thing on this side of the resurrection. But on this side of the resurrection, if I die, the worst thing that death does to me is just plant me in the ground, and I'll come up better than I was when I went in the ground. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, it changes your whole perspective. You get the sweetness of his voice. When his voice says, come up hither, that's going to be the sweetest thing, man, I've ever heard in my life. Other than you, by grace are you saved through faith. Whenever I get up out of here and I'm going to get that new body that I'm so looking forward to, brother, it's going to be wonderful. Hey. Now, I'll tell you something, the sweetness of that voice, and I'll say this right here. I guess we've already talked about it, but lately it just seems like my Bible reading has been just so much sweeter, because I'm realizing for me, I'm still such a young man. I haven't realized in my life things can be gone just in a blink of an eye. Yeah. You know, tomorrow something may happen and I may not be able to read my Bible. Tomorrow I may not be able to do the things for the Lord I'm doing today. Tomorrow I may not be able to walk like I'm walking today. Tomorrow I may not be able to even use my voice for the Lord. I'm learning to enjoy that sweet fellowship with him and enjoying his voice and enjoying being able to just have the time with him that I have with him, because, hey, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. That's why I'm learning that you know, like that verse, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, I used to, you know, I've preached that thing saying, you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow, you need to get saved. Well, for saved people, that'll work too. Why? Because I talk about what I'm going to do tomorrow, I don't have any idea now what I'm going to do next week. I'm so worried about what's going to happen 4 weeks from now, and what's going to happen with my job on this, and what's going to happen with this other thing that's going on. The Lord's saying, hey, you don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Just enjoy today and enjoy your fellowship today. It's okay to make plans, but we better watch out with those plans. Why? It's good to have an intention, but only God can make plans, because only God knows the future. Only God. See, it's the sweetness of his voice. Now, here's another thing, too. It causes you to recognize those things. But the thing is, it wasn't the world around her that caused her to see clearly. But the sound of his voice is what caused her. The thing is, the Lord Jesus is recognized with the heart and not the head. The Lord will speak to your heart. So many folks are trying to have a head knowledge with the Lord when it needs to be a heart knowledge first. He spoke to her heart. Now here's the thing too, the sweetness of his voice. Now, guess what? She has the victory. The thing is, we have the victory in Jesus and can keep a constant confidence because of what he's accomplished with the resurrection. Now, how I know she's got the victory is this right here. Mary needed to be taught that the fellowship of the future would be very different from that of the past, because you think about this right here. In verse 17, he saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now, here he is before the resurrection. She's used to touching him. She's used to being around him. She's used to be able to go over here and touch his feet and wash his. She's used to all these things that was previous to the resurrection. Now he says, touch me not. Now we know doctrinally about the blood being applied and him going up to pass Alpha Draconis and back and all this time. I realize that. But I'm saying for her practical instruction and for the lesson she's learning here, she's learning, hey, things are different from here on. What I'm realizing about this right here is that moments like this right here are just fleeting moments. Here she is. She's with the Lord right now, but he says, touch me not. She's on a mountaintop, but the mountaintop is not where we need to live. We're going to have mountaintop experiences in our Christian walk, but we've got to realize we may have something happen in our Christian walk and say, from here on, it's going to be different. Her relationship with the Lord from here on, she's not going to be seeing him every day like she's been seeing him. She's going to actually have to walk in a way by faith that she had not previously walked before. You know what we're going to realize as Christians? From here on out, we're fighting from victory. But you know what? We're having to operate on a level of faith that we hadn't previously. Maybe things as far as our faith aren't ever going to go back to the way we previously thought. But I know this right here. Mary was able to walk in victory, and we're able to walk in victory. We've got wisdom from the resurrection. Noticing this right here that she's seen out of this. Her faith is strengthened. She sees great forgiveness. Look at verse number 17. He says, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. He calls these men brethren after they forsook him and fled. Look at the forgiveness she's seeing. You know what I'm seeing on this right here? I'm seeing, look at the mercy God's had. Look, God could have taken this country and threw this thing in the garbage years ago. Why? All the babies that's being killed, all the perverts and the pedophiles and all the bad magazines. You go to the stores and you can't half even look around anymore for all the junk. This nation is filthy. This nation deserves anything it gets. But guess what? God's had mercy, hadn't he? You know what? I thank God for the forgiveness that she is seeing how great the Lord's forgiveness is. You know what? I think some of these rascals, I think they want God just to chunk the nation in the garbage. Man, thank God he's not like us. I think they're just, God's going to lower the boom on. Well, man, thank God he still has. I'd like to see as many people get saved as possible. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I know there's people out there that couldn't care any less about the Bible. They couldn't care any less about preaching. But you know what? I'd like to see God save them. I'd like to see them get the forgiveness I got. Why? I was just as bad or worse than any of them. Mary is saying, look at the forgiveness. God will forgive people who forsook him. What about all those people previous to these things happening that we've seen happen these months? All these people that forsook God and fled. I don't want anything to do with God. What if they get to give some forgiveness because of all this thing? What if we get to see some people get saved? I'd like to see one or two. I hope I'm witnessing. I hope I see one or two get saved. And man, I'm witnessing at the rapture and we just get to snatch them up and keep on going, man. Man, I want to see this thing out to the end. I hope God will help us to the end. Why? She continues being faithful. That's what we want to do. Wisdom from this resurrection, you know what she did? He just said, go tell them. You know what verse 18 said? This goes directly against the mark. Right? I like how I believe that even the verses are in place. You know what? That's verse 18. You know what? The 18 is 666. That's the number for man. You know what man wants to do? Man wants to do what he wants to do. Man wants to go against the Word of God. Man wants to go against the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord said, go tell them something. And guess what? If she goes against what man, what her flesh would do. And guess what? Oh, she didn't say, I'm better than y'all. I stuck around and all this stuff. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. He said, hey, he's forgiven y'all. He called you brethren. Man, I tell you something. She just continues being faithful. She just told what she had seen and heard. You know what? The Lord said, I am the resurrection. The thing is, when I read these verses, I thought about this right here. What has a resurrection done for you? I'd like to ask folks this right here. Have you let something that's unclear to you let you start doubting your faith? Well, we see right here wisdom from the resurrection that just because we don't understand something doesn't mean God's not working. Mary didn't understand these things and the disciples didn't understand these things, but God was still working in these situations. The thing that I'm realizing is this right here. Jesus is the resurrection. And because He lives, we sing, I can face tomorrow. Whatever tomorrow has to offer, I can face it by Him and through Him, because He's already been there. He's already taken care of it. And if He sees fit to order it in whichever way He wants to, I'm fine with it. It's well with my soul. I thank God for the resurrection and the wisdom God allows. If you would, close us out.